ask our city attorney if there is any reportable action.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. City Council met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1, in Newton versus City of Atascadero. There was no reportable action.
Thank you. Now I'll call to order our regular session, and I will ask Mayor Pro Tem Funk to lead us in a pledge to the flag.
Please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borba.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. All right. Hello there. So for those of you attending here in person, we welcome you tonight. If you're listening on Zoom, on the radio, all the ways, we're glad that you're here with us. If you'd like to speak by phone during the time set aside for community forum or during public comment, you can call the following number. It is 669-900-6833. One more time, that number is 669-900-6833. And the meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. Once again, that meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. And when you call, please let us know which item it is that you'd like to speak on. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Also move.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. We'll waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar, this contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be approved in one motion unless there's a member of the public or the council wishing to pull an item. I thought maybe we would just have a brief comment on item number two because I, you know, with the storms and kind of letting folks know how we fared and what this one item is, it would be good. Other than that, any other items? All right, if you want to do it. Quick comment on that.
Sure, Mayor. I just want to share the community fared very well in the last storm as far as our areas of flooding that we were aware of. Traffic control right away. We didn't have any major tree limbs drop in the right away or power lines block right away. We did staff up, so I want to give credit to the police and fire departments for staffing up and pre-planning so we could run the calls. And our public works team had a couple crews roaming, keeping culverts flowing, being right on top of things. So I give them a heads up. And the work that that team had done to pre-plan held. So we fared really well. And as a matter of fact, I'd share with you that I thought we'd gotten through it in excellent shape. But late last week, we did have another failure on San Marcos Road, not too far from where we had the last repair. And so we had a very good experience on that repair working with the federal government for to do that with FHWA. So we'd like to consider that again, but a disaster declaration needs to be done.
Right. Thank you very much. Any member of the public wishing to speak? I'm not seeing anyone on Zoom or in the public here. So I'll bring that back to council for a motion.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Funk, second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. On to updates from the city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Isn't it nice this time of year just that we can all share our love for Atascadero, right? We have Valentine's Day coming around, and I know how much we all love it. So I have a few Valentine's announcements to start out. Now, you know, there is a perfect gift. The city attorney was talking about getting flowers for his partner. But, Mr. Attorney, did you know you can adopt a cockroach? I mean, right there, you can adopt a cockroach at the Charles Paddock Zoo. Now through February 29th, you can give that special someone in your life your very own kissing cockroach. And so cost is only $7. You can name the cockroach and receive an official certificate of adoption that will have your Valentine's name on it as a gift. I got to get one of these for my son. You can also upgrade your gift with a special meet and greet with the Madagascar hissing cockroach. and get a special t-shirt or hoodie. So, hey, the unique Valentine's gift only at the Charles Paddock Zoo. You can go online to charlespaddockzoo.org for information to purchase your adoption of a cockroach. There you go, only in Atascadero. Love continues to be an air. The father-daughter dance was absolutely amazing. I think we have some pictures here. The team did such a good job in recreation decorating it with several photo locations and themed areas. And we had sold out at 300 attendees each night. So, I mean, these are those quality of life things that are so important. And now we have also had questions about a mother-son dance, and we are looking to roll that out in 2025. So we've heard that, and I think that's something that would be very nice. We on to loving our water and our river and our creatures. We celebrated the beavers over the weekend with the unveiling of two interpretive panels. There's the council celebrating the panels. And highlighting the amazing role that beavers play in our Salinas River as water heroes and firefighters. And I learned that the way the beaver dams purify water isn't a whole lot different than how our current wastewater plant works. So beavers are brilliant, and I appreciate you being supportive of that. The panels were made possible through California Coastal Commission Whale Tail Grants and the San Luis Obispo Beaver Brigade in collaboration with us and the Migos de Anza Group. So thank you for being supportive of that. I was out there today, and it looks great. Continue to love. The Sweetheart Stroll is coming up. Look at all this love in Atascadero. The Sip and Shop is February 16th. This is always a great event from 5:30 to 8. We'll have phenomenal wine, beer, coffee, and other treats from 15-plus businesses in downtown. Bring your friend, bring your significant other, bring a date, group of friends, and have lots of fun. We will also be offering tours of City Hall that evening, so that's a great place to stroll as well. You can buy our tickets at atascaderochamber.org/events and look on the events calendar there and pick up your tickets and make sure it doesn't sell out. So you want to get your tickets for the Sip and Shop this Friday. Okay, we can love the Earth. The Earth Sign Cleanup event is happening on February 24th. This is an opportunity for us to clean our creeks here on the 24th from 10 to 12, meeting at the Sutton Gardens. Really appreciate Earthshine doing this. And more information is at earthshineorg.com. So that's a little different. www.earthshineorg.com, not .org.com. So that's the way you can help serve our community by cleaning up the creek. Rain is on the way. So starting, I believe, Friday through next Wednesday, we have another significant storm and river event. So staff is continuing to prepare to make sure our public right-of-ways are safe and public facilities so we can serve you. I would encourage you, if you need sandbags, to get sandbags and get them filled. We have sand at Fire Station 1 at 6005 Lewis Avenue, and I checked today on Garbata Road at 8005 Garbata at our yard, and our sand is full there too. So there are opportunities for you to get sand for your bags to make sure you can control water on your property. Bring your own shovel and sandbags, please. Now we have a break. Please check your drains and culverts while we have this chance before Friday. You can remove trash and other potential obstructions from creeks, ditches, and other drainage ways. Clear and remove down trees and limbs on your property or that you may think are threatening your property. Property owners need to make sure they're taking care of their own property and making sure that they're in charge of their own safety. Check and clear any pipes or drain inlets under driveways or elsewhere on your property. If you are in a creek or embankment, keep riparian areas vegetated to prevent bank and soil erosion. And please monitor conditions if you're on a creek throughout the winter and take action immediately as needed to protect your property. It's important to keep the stormwater moving and prevent potential flooding, and so that's really important. If you see flooding and down limbs or trees in the street or the public right-of-way, please do call us, Public Works at 805-470-3148, or Police Dispatch at 461-5051. So again, the city's response is focused on limbs and debris in the public right-of-way so we can respond to you and make sure we can keep you safe, but you need to take care of your private property. We do have more information on this at atascadero.org/emergency-preparedness. The county also has information how to protect yourself at readyslo.org. So really important. Okay, switching gears from love and rain and flooding to our chipping program. Registration is now open for our chipping program. You can register online at atascadero.org/chipping or call 470-3300. All material must be piled near the road or driveway and be easily accessible. So this is a really important program. You can see a little photo there of what's correctly stacked and incorrectly stacked, and we appreciate that. That allows us to serve you best. And for information regarding wildfire safety, backyard burning, weed abatement, and chipping, you can go to atascadero.org/FD. The fire department has many good programs. We really appreciate what they do to keep us safe. We have another one, Wildfire Consultation Program. And this is actually, I think, pretty important as people are concerned about insurance and making sure that the home is defensible. We do have a grant-funded program through the San Luis Obispo Fire Safe Council that allows our fire department staff to meet with residents on their property for a consultation. This is a really neat service. I'm not familiar with many communities that have this. The consultation will evaluate your property's fuels and defensible space and recommend improvements to harden your home, as well as evaluate access for fire department equipment to protect your residents during a wildfire event. Don't delay on this. If you want to request your free consultation, please register online at atascadero.org/fire or call 470-3300. And I think this is just a really important proactive thing you can do, and you can document the steps you take, and that may help you maintain your coverage. So this is a next slide. Roadwork continues here in the downtown. We're getting there. The rain has definitely backed us up a little bit, unfortunately. But now through February 23rd, we'll be paving on Palma Avenue between and that is part of the F-14, separate F-14 pavement rehab project. So Rosario to Palma, between Rosario and Traffic Way. We'll be changing, you can see we've already changed that curb face too, so there will be a short-term parking spot near the artery on Palma, which was something that we've talked about for time. So this will also do that work, picking up a short-term spot there. And then broadband utility work will continue on Traffic Way from Olmeda to the Colony Park Community Center. There'll be some intermittent access and parking impacted during that work. And then I've had some questions about why were certain parts of streets paved and not others. For example, like in Entrada, we didn't pave where you park your car, but we paved down the center of the street. And I think this is one of those things that's important to explain. People may think that we're silly. Why did we do that? There was two different pavement treatments. So the area that was worse, we actually had to cut out and do a full redo. But where we could do a treatment called microsurfacing is what we're going to do next. So that will come forward in the spring when the rains have pulled back a little bit. And that is a much more cost-effective, but nonetheless effective way. And so when we come back and do the microsurfacing, then the streets will look new, the whole street, and we'll stripe. So that's why we had some of these kind of spotty areas. But the microsurfacing will begin when it's warmer. We have to have warmer temperatures for that in the spring. So that's what we have. That work is wrapping up. And finally, good news. This is exciting. We are going to really light up the downtown. So we have a request for proposal for a Sutton Gardens holiday light display. We have this out. We're collecting contributions from sponsors. Our director of recreation over there and community promotions is doing an awesome job getting sponsors that we'll share with you. But the goal is to have a significant lights that we'll rent, and a company will install them. We'll look like Disneyland out in the Sutton Garden, and then they'll be taken away. That protects our trees. It's the staff doesn't have to deal with this, and I think it'll be really magical. And so when we light up our downtown, we're lighting it up. We'll keep these up through Christmas and into early January for families to enjoy, and hopefully they'll come visit us. But people are really excited about this as I talk about it. The proposal information is available for contractors interested at atascadero.org under bids and RFPs for those interested, or you can speak to Ms. Banish at 805-470-3490. So lots to report, but lots going on in our city. Thank you.
Well, Director Banish, you already have me excited about Christmas, and it's only February. Thank you for that report. Any questions of staff?
Question, Jim. I know you've told us, but I'm forgetting. When does the RFQ close on the properties over here by the bridge that we're asking for proposals or qualifications?
Phil, is it end of February, right? Like the 20?
Yeah, we went all the way through to the end of the month, so it's going to be until
March 1. That's what we have a leap year. March 1, Friday. Thank you for asking that question.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're on to community forum, and community forum is reserved for persons wishing to speak to the council on anything that is not on our agenda this evening, but over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited up to 3 minutes and have a total of 30 minutes set aside for community forum as needed. We ask that you state your name for the record, and the timer will go so you have a a way to kind of track your time. So I'm going to, I don't see anybody, or actually do I know? Okay, nobody here in chambers that wants to speak. So I'm going to look to the attendees in Zoom. And if anyone would like to speak on for community forum, go ahead and raise your hand. For you on the phone, if you wanted to speak, you could press *9. Just a quick second in case there's anyone. Not the phone, I'm not seeing the phone, is that correct, Luke? All right, so we'll go ahead and close community forum, bring that back to council. If you are someone that has something to say, wanted to speak, and you weren't able to be here or get to community forum for whatever reason, you can always reach out to the city clerk at cityclerk@atascadero.org or call the city manager's office, city clerk's office at 470-3400. Now we are on to our one public hearing of the evening. This is the appeal of an ARCO canopy signage use permit at 9590 El Camino Real. I'll start by asking council if we have any ex parte. I'll go from my right to my left.
I originally presided on the DRC meeting back, I think, in 2018 and 2019.
No ex parte.
I was also on the DRC back in 2018-19.
All right, thank you. And for those of you who don't know, DRC is the Design Review Committee, and that's sort of the initial body with two council members and two planning commissioners and an at-large member that take a first glance at projects and give some feedback. All right, so we'll give this over to our Community Development Director, Mr. Phil Dunsmore.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Council. Glad to be here tonight. So this is regarding the new fuel station that just opened up on the south end of town in El Camino in between Montecito and Santa Rosa. It's a really nice ARCO station. They did actually come in for approval of signs, as often these gas stations do. They always need a little bit of extra signage. And we guided them through a process. But through a course of events, here we are tonight on appeal on some of that signage. So I'm going to share with you a little background about the site, a little background about the signs that were approved, and a little background about our sign code, what it allows, and we can take it from there. So here's the site before it was developed. Really nice reuse of a vacant lot there next to Montecito, south of Santa Rosa Road along El Camino Real. It's a little bit different location for a fuel station. Most of our fuel stations are right at the freeway interchange, just one set back a little bit, and it's on El Camino. And just to get familiar with the area, which is really important to know, it's got commercial tourist zoning on the site, and then across the street it's retail zoning, and then directly adjacent to that on the hill, it's a multifamily zone. It's important to know just about the logistics of the area and kind of how the compatibility of this neighborhood works. And we use all of those factors when we weigh in on lighting and signage and the whole bit. So starting back a few years ago, this went to the Design Review Committee July 19th of 2019. It came back again, I think, for some additional feedback. And then the DRC endorsed the overall design of the project. But that time, we looked at the signage. We didn't have a color banding or light strip that was recommended. So just a plain canopy with a nice sort of roof and nice architecture. Fast forwarding a little bit, a couple years later, ARCO came in. They did apply for a use permit for the light strip. That is an administrative hearing level. So that goes to the director. We did find that light strip and the extra canopy signage wasn't necessary for this site. And it was incompatible with the neighborhood and maybe incompatible with our sign regulations. So we did deny that. The applicant intended to submit an appeal. However, they didn't get it in time. So what we told them is, well, you can still reapply. Our code allows you to reapply. And so sometime later, they reapplied again. And at that point in time, as a director, I decided to bump that up to the Planning Commission level because we had already denied this thing. And to save the whole process of going through appeal, hey, let's just bring it straight to Planning Commission, which is an option we have in our municipal code. So we did that, took it to commission last November, 2023, and made a recommendation to not have this color banding, not have this light strip. But the Planning Commission gave a compromise and said, you can have your color banding on the canopy, but no light strip. So they gave them half of the approval. Tonight, we're here because the applicant has appealed the Planning Commission's decision. They want both the color banding and the light strip on the canopy. And I'm gonna show you a few images of what that looks like. The image there at the top is in a daytime view of the typical adhesive vinyl band. And I think from time to time those images change. It might be narrower today's standards. It was wider at this particular one. And then the lighting is an LED strip that goes on the outside of that, and that's the image you see below. It's not a very obnoxious light. It's pretty low key. In fact, the lighting that's below the canopy and on the pump toppers is probably a lot more profound. This is just the architectural elevations for this particular site and a close-up image of what these graphics look like. Now, they did get approval for the sign, so the sign is up there, the sign is allowed, just without the entire strip going all the way around that fascia, which is the wide edge of that canopy, all the way around the canopy. So what our code has actually done, it looks, when we look at corporate colors on a building, when we look at these light strips in combination with a sign, our sign regulations ask us to look at that as part of the sign and actually calculate the whole area as signage. But our sign code is fairly restrictive, and it only allows 20 square feet on two of the exterior faces. That, you know, entire canopy would be far greater than that. The DRC, they did actually increase that allowance to 51 square feet, so that was pretty good. Now, with the Planning Commission's approval, with the color banding, it bumps it all the way up to 768. Just because it's such a big canopy, that's what was granted in this particular case. So a little bit of analysis again on our code. This is a little interesting because the light is kind of on the outside. It's not within a reveal. It's not within a little shield. It's actually just out there. Although it's not that bright, it's LEDs. But something just to note in our Muni code that exterior lighting is supposed to be recessed and shielded to minimize that glare. So at the November Planning Commission hearing of last year, what staff did say is if you're going to do a light strip, it should be inset or shielded with light and directed downwards. Instead, the Planning Commission chose to leave that out, but let them have the additional banding. So here's what the station looks like today. Great looking station, brand new site on the south end of town, serving the south end of the city. As you can see, there is these little cover toppers on top of the fuel pumps that have signage on them as well. There's the logo on the canopy itself. What's interesting about this site, some of these fuel stations, they need the signage and lighting and visibility to be able to be seen from Highway 101. You can't see this site from 101. But you can see it from the residential neighborhood that's across the street. So this is on East Front Road, which attaches to Santa Rosa along the frontage of Highway 101. Looking at the fuel station from the backside through the adjacent property, and you can see off in the foreground is the condominiums that are in a residential zoning district right across from them. So that is one of the considerations that staff took into consideration when we looked at this site and gave recommendations as to what kind of lighting should happen, what kind of signage should happen. There's a lot of windows looking down on it from the hillside. So the recommendation tonight, is really split, and so we're kind of leaving this up to council. Staff isn't taking a hard position, it's an appeal. There's two resolutions. The first one simply keeps the existing approval in place with the Planning Commission had done. The second one allows them to have the light strip in addition to the Planning Commission's approval as an option. There's also alternatives out there. You could continue this, we could look at other modifications, do something different. The two slides I just skipped over that we can probably go back to if you want are the findings that we need to make when we process a use permit for exceptions to the sign regulations. So we can look at those, and these are two more that are on that. I'm not gonna go through all those right now, but if we need to, we can come back for that based on the council's desire. So, happy to answer your questions. Thank you. And one, by the way, to my right, Sam Mountain, our assistant planner. He processed this application. I've got him here with me in case detailed questions come up that I didn't recall.
Great. Thank you, Director. Thank you for being here, Sam. And I will ask council if we have any questions before going to the applicant slash appellant. Councilmember Darris.
There's a monument sign out on El Camino Real, is that correct or no?
Yes, they have pricing sign and a monument sign for identification.
And the sizing of that sign is at the maximum of our code, or was it increased for any reason, or is
I don't recall. I'm going to ask Sam Mountain. That's why I've got him here.
It's kind of a detailed question, but I'm just curious.
Yeah.
So when this project was originally reviewed by a design review committee, the kind of square footage that was granted to the applicants for the project included canopy signage and included signage on the mini mart, monument sign, etc. The reason why we went from that kind of low square footage that we see on the slideshow here is that that's the square footage that our code allows specifically for the canopy signage. And so that 51 square feet, I believe it was, that is entirely inclusive of just the canopy signage. So the monument sign, mini mart sign, things like that aren't included in that number.
Okay. But the size of that monument sign wasn't increased? Wasn't asked to be larger than what would typically be? Or
your mic.
I'm sorry. I was talking so loud I could hear myself well.
Frankly, I don't recall if it does exceed our maximum signage amount. I will say it's a fairly standard size for a gas station monument sign, though.
Okay. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I'm curious, you said this is our rules regarding canopy signs, because it seems to me gas stations are a little different than other people who just have a building. It's pretty common. I was just trying to look up the two chevrons, the one on San Anselmo, the one on Morro Road, and it looked like one of them has no color banding, and it looks like the other one has significant color all around. But I'm most curious about the AM/PM at San Anselmo. I drove by it, of course, on the way here. I wish it was 30 minutes later. I'd have gotten a better feel for the effect of the lighting. That is lit, though. I mean, it seems even at 5:10, it seems like it was lit. I wish it was later so I could visualize what effect that lighting had. But how did that one end up, if you recall, because it's been there for almost 20 years now or more, how did that one end up with a full banding and a light inside? Or how did the chevron across the street end up, if that's our rules on the surface?
Sure. Well, our current sign regulations that are in place now are only about 5 years old, and so that gas station predates that. A lot has changed, and in fact, since the date of that development of that station, we've also adopted things like a night sky ordinance, and a lot of policies have changed over time. So those were developed before those policies came into play. But even if those policies were into play when these gas stations came along, all of them do request modifications to what they can do. And oftentimes we do add flexibility based on a use permit, based on their design, based on their criteria, based on their location and their neighborhood compatibility. That's very typical. So in these scenarios, I haven't looked at the approval process record that far back on the other ones to compare, because it's a bit of a moot point. They're all in different situations and the code's changed a number of times. So instead, we're faced with, here we are today, let's look at the situation, and we have the ability to grant exceptions in this case, or we have the ability, because it's discretionary, to say it's not suitable for this particular location or not needed.
Okay. And to be clear, in this proposal, right now, there's no color on the banding, but there is a sign that says ARCO. That is currently lit?
I don't believe that it is. Essentially, right now, at least as of a day or two ago, this is what it looks like. There is currently no color banding, but the color banding has been approved.
Right.
I don't believe any of the logo signs on the canopy itself are lit, though.
Okay, well, you can ask the applicant that. Okay, thank you. I'll have more questions for after the applicant speaks.
A couple questions here. First of all, would any of the decisions that we would be considering tonight impact the visibility of this project from the 101 freeway?
No.
Okay, that's what it looked like to me. One of the things as I was looking at the site in the area in context that was quite striking is the vast amount of very bright light that I see over at Motel 6 on that property. Is that lighting currently consistent with the city's guidelines?
No. Sorry. No, it's not consistent. They are in violation, and city staff is following up with that now after receiving complaints about that lighting, and it was not installed with permits.
Okay. Thank you. Part of the lighting on the site are those, I guess they're called pump toppers, but it's a lighted branded sign on top of each pump. It's quite substantial and is very visible at night. Was the square footage of those pump topper signs on the 8 pumps, I think, at the station, was that considered in the overall allowance for what kind of signage this location could have?
It was not. We did not include that in the overall calculations.
Okay, so they currently have that as kind of a bonus. Okay, and then I also observed as I was driving by yesterday feather signs out in front of the property. Are those allowed?
Not allowed.
Okay, and is it typical that, is it common to have this problem with new properties that we have to
consistently
educate them about that?
Yes.
Okay. And then last, in terms of the other gas stations in this particular area, I was noticing the 7-Eleven, could you just check me if I've observed this correctly. The 7-Eleven has color banding on the canopy, but no lighting on the canopy. The Chalk Mountain has neither. The Chevron around the street does not have color banding or lighting on most of its canopy, and the Shell station has both color banding and lighting, and that and it is visible from the 101 with that. Do I have that roughly correct?
Sounds roughly accurate. We could probably do a Google Maps tour here in a moment as our city clerk's going to pull up and verify, because there is a hit and miss, but generally the newer stations that are more recently approved, our guidelines, our policies have directed to be more of a muted canopy, more expressive on the architecture, and more reliant upon fixed site signs for the advertising. And more people find these fuel stations because they're just in those locations, and we see things differently now than signage and lights. But understanding us also a branding issue, so that's why we're here.
Sure, thank you.
Any other council
questions? Yeah, I wanted to follow up on Mayor Pro Tem Funk's question. You indicated in response to her that the pump toppers are lighted, but those don't count into the lighted signage square footage?
They could count into it. We just did not do that as staff, include that. Sometimes they change those things out all the time as they redo the pumps and they redo the toppers. And so it's not entirely clear within our ordinance that these small things, because of their small size and part of this pump feature, whether they really should count or not. Well, so we were gracious in this one and did not include that in the calculations. However, we could include that in calculations if we wanted to consider that scenario. Our sign regulations do speak to all signage that's exterior to the property, unless it's inside the store. So
it just seems a little weird to not count, what is it, 8 different, you know, lighted pump toppers, but then count, you know, a lit band around the thing. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you for answering all those questions. So if I kind of simplify things down, at the design review committee about 5 or 6 years ago, the DRC decided on some expanded options for signage and gave that the recommendation. And then the application came to staff and asked for more, and staff said, you know, no, we're going with the DRC recommendation. And then the applicant came to Planning Commission sometime later and wanted more, and the Planning Commission gave a little more, but not as much as they wanted, and so we're now back and being asked for more. So it kind of keeps growing a little
exactly.
bit is the sense I'm getting. Okay.
Well said.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. What we'd like to do now is be able to go to the applicant, and as the applicant you know, typically as part of public comment, and we give 3 minutes for an applicant, but as you are an appellant, and we give up to 7 minutes, and also we might ask questions of you too. So know that you can stay standing up there, and we may have some things to ask you, sir. So come on forward, and Luke, I would ask that you put up the timer just so we can keep track. Welcome.
My name is Dave Bartle. I'm representing TRAC for the ARCO station.
Closer to the microphone.
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just wanted to make this quick and show you guys a few photos. If I can pass these down.
Sure.
These are what is on the sign here for you guys to see. This is in reference to what you were talking about earlier, night photos of that station, and also the In-N-Out Burger that's next to it that has LED light banding as well, is what we're asking for. We just want to have the same advantages as the other ARCO station in your guys' city to attract customers to that station. As for your question, my last appeal was for this LED branding as well as the ARCO decal that was approved, and this one was denied. So that's why I'm back trying to get the LED approved. And for the answer to the canopy, the channel letters and the ARCO logo that's up on the canopy, it does light up at nighttime. It is internally lit LED.
You're saying that the ARCO logo itself, right?
Like, the ARCO logo up on the canopy that says ARCO, and the logo right next to it, they light up at night.
Right, yeah, I drove by it last night, and I remember that being lit up, and then when you said you didn't know that it was, I thought, am I remembering correctly? All right, thank you.
And I brought a piece of the I brought a piece of the LED so you guys can see what it looks like lit up, how bright it is.
Oh, I thought that
this is what goes on the canopy, and this is how bright it is. That's all they get.
Yeah. I thought you were bringing a slide rule up to the or some sort.
No, I just wanted to show you what it looks like and how bright it is.
Thank you. Anything else? All right.
Here for any questions.
Well, I will look to council for questions. Councilmember Darris, followed by Councilmember Bourbeau.
I assume you do a lot of ARCO stations around the state or even further. So have you done other ARCO stations where it's the signage on the canopy is as minimal as, say, it is right now and left that way?
Blank like that?
Well, just with the logo, no
just
stripe,
with
no
ARCO,
light.
Just the ARCO channel letters and the ARCO logo?
Yeah, well, with no stripe and no light.
Yes, I have.
You have.
They've had where they stuccoed the canopy. So with the stucco, you cannot apply the decal.
All right.
You can apply the LED banding around, but you can't apply the logo, the decal.
Okay, so the request to not have the striping and the lighting is not all that unusual.
Yes, it happens. It's in certain historical areas, they'll have that. This is just trying to keep uniform with ARCO. All the stations are uniform, try to keep the same look.
No, I understand that the branding is important, obviously. But as was stated, it's not really visible from the highway, so people that live in town are going to know that it's there. But I understand branding is super important.
Right.
Be consistent.
Getting off of the freeway and trying to find the station, I'm not from this area. I even had a hard time, even knowing where the station was, getting off and looking down and trying to figure out where it was amongst all the buildings.
Oh, all right.
So it does help when that pops out to you. You know, hey, even when you're in the freeway and you're driving from a distance, you see that blue band. You know, okay, there's an ARCO station.
I understand, yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Along those lines, staff made the comment that they didn't feel it was necessary, and I'm not sure, I want to hear from staff why they think that, but I want to know from you why you think it's necessary. It appears to me you've invested some considerable time in appealing this,
right?
So you consider it important. Why?
It is. You have people that are elderly that go to ARCO specifically because it's cheap gas. Their vision is not 20/20. It's harder for them to see things. That's why they try to do the biggest price line they can, so they can make their lane changes and get over when they finally come across the ARCO. So being that this branding is up there, it helps them see it from a distance, and they can plan their travels and know, hey, I got to get over into the right lane to get there. There's the ARCO station, where by the time they get up there and see the price sign or the station, it's kind of hard for them to maneuver and get over and get in there. Okay. Just safety reasons, stuff like that.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Protem Funk?
Yeah, I want to follow up on that a little bit more in terms of, can you describe for me, for traffic that's coming southbound on El Camino Real towards the station, how would color banding and lighting on the canopy change the visibility of the things to traffic coming southbound El Camino Real?
Well, you have two lanes. So if somebody's in the number one lane, the far left lane, and they're coming down and they got to get gas and hard to see, and all of a sudden, you know, they can now see the banding, that blue neon, make a lane change over and be able to get into the driveway safely.
Right, I get the theoretical thing, right. But there's a building sitting there in the corner. And so as you're coming up, there's a building, and then once you pass that building, then my experience is that the station was quite visible.
Oh, you're talking, okay, so you're heading northbound or southbound?
No, I was talking about this particular one. We'll do northbound next.
Okay.
But describe to me from the southbound. So you're coming, you've passed Motel 6, and you're coming towards...
Yeah, I'm not sure where Motel 6 is. I know there's an intersection right there just before the station.
Right, there's an intersection before the station, then coming past that intersection, which has Motel 6 on the other side.
Okay.
So coming past that station, there's a building on the corner, and then you see the station. Is there any significant change in the visibility of the station because of the banding, given that there's a building sitting on the corner?
I'm not sure. I'd have to take a look at that. I'm not aware. I'm not familiar with this area. I'm from south, so to be honest, I can't really answer that question.
Sure. Okay. I was going to ask it from the other direction also, but does staff have an opinion to comment on that particular question? I didn't ask you to look at it, but... whether or not there's any really material difference in the visibility for the traffic that would be coming off the freeway or down El Camino Real, coming southbound. And then there's this building right there on the corner, and then you have the gas station.
It's not visible from the freeway off-ramp or the freeway itself until you travel down Santa Rosa towards the intersection of El Camino Real or the intersection of East Front. And then you get a glance kind of through the site down below into it. But if it's at night, the lighting from the canopy underneath and the canopy toppers and the signage is also visible at that particular time as well. If it's something where there's a vision problem and you can't see it, you probably shouldn't be driving.
if you can't miss the lighted 8-pump gas station, you probably shouldn't be driving. Yeah, I'll give you on that one.
Well, that's true, but you got to watch out for people texting and driving. You don't know if that's a parking lot. You don't know. You see the blue banding, you know that's a gas station.
Right.
Lights lit up, could be anything.
Sure. You know, and ability to make lane changes between the two lanes in each direction on El Camino Real is not, we're not happily LA here. You know, that's not a huge issue in our community.
Right. And on, is it Santa Rosa, the bridge?
Yeah, Santa Rosa.
You can see the canopy from there. So I had gotten off the freeway heading southbound on the 101, was on the bridge before the off-ramp for the northbound, and had photos, and you can see the canopy from there. So being that blue banding at night would help somebody know, hey, the station's right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Newsom.
Do any of the other ARCO's signage on the canopies not have lighted bar?
I'm sorry, sir, can you say that one more time?
Is there other ARCO's that have a canopy without the lighted bar?
Yes, there are.
Okay, thank you.
But for the most part, we go through this process, which each and every city, if they do deny it. So ARCO wants full branding. They try to keep everything uniform.
It's part of the branding logo?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for our applicant? No, I'm not seeing any. All right, thank you, sir. And if there's anything else, we'll let you know. Okay. What I want to do is open this up for public comment right now. And if there's any members of the public wishing to speak, I'm not seeing anyone here in chambers. Is there anyone on Zoom or on the telephone? If you're on Zoom, you can go to the bottom and press your raise hand icon. And if you're on the phone, it is *9. Anyone wishing to speak on this item? All right, we're seeing somebody on the phone. Luke? And you are muted, but I think we've brought you on. If you're unable to, can you help unmute Luke? If our caller could press *6 to unmute. *6 to unmute. There you go.
Hi. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. So my name is Zachary Dels Reyes, and I'm actually one of the residents that live across the street from our brand new ARCO station. So I want to let the council know and everyone that's listening that the lights that I see across the street from my house out of my front window are very bright. Like you guys all suggested, the pumps, they're definitely bright enough for everyone to see. I also want to say that anyone on the freeway that's driving that needs to see a gas station typically will have a GPS and can definitely find ARCO or any of the other gas stations that are definitely there. As far as the advantage that our gentleman who owns the ARCO station says, I definitely agree that the other stations that are around the same area do not have any other lighting, so the advantage for them is the exact same thing. And I do understand about branding, and that's exactly why we're here tonight to talk about the appeal. But as far as our resident and our community is concerned, I feel like the way that the station is typically sitting now is definitely good enough. Also, one of the things I do want to raise is there is very loud music that plays out of that station pretty much 24/7. It could be turned down a little bit, and that would be definitely helpful. Also, with the whole excuse of driving at night so you can see it, I definitely agree with one of our council members. If you can't see at night, it's probably not a good idea to be driving. So as far as that's concerned, I just wanted to raise those kind of things up to let everyone know that as a resident that does live across the street, actually looking out my window, I can see the pumps from right here that are very bright alongside Motel 6. That's pretty much all I wanted to raise up, and I appreciate you guys' time and listening to what I have to say today.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your input and participation. Anyone else wishing to speak? I'm not seeing any other hands. And there's no one else. We'll go ahead and close public comment, and we'll bring it back to council. I think you had some questions, Councilmember Borbove, of staff.
I did. Well. Thank you. And I'm glad the caller called in, because one of my questions for staff was, what was the public notification for this project and this appeal, in the sense that I assume the caller lived in one of the homes above the vet hospital, that looks most immediately down. I walked that area today, but I, couldn't get in people's backyards or living rooms to kind of get a feel for what they're seeing. So I am curious, were those folks notified? Because it seems to me they're the closest people with a potential interest in this.
Very likely. Our typical notification range is 300 feet from the boundary of the property. And sometimes we go a little further than that, because as we look at the map, we try and pick up the pertinent properties. We never draw it closer than that, because 300 is our bare minimum. So looking at that property and knowing where that residential district is, those condos probably did get notified.
And were there, through these processes, were there any other public comments from the residents, either during the DRC hearings or any of these appeals?
There really has not been a lot, I'll be honest. I think we've had some people reach out prior to the hearings, but we haven't had a lot of turnout.
Okay. And what about you guys had made it? You had made a comment regarding you didn't see the banding as necessary, and I'm wondering, what did you base that on? Because I mean, that's kind of a business perceived need on the part of the business. What did you base that comment on?
It's based on some of our more recent approvals and just noting where this location is, and based on its proximity and based on the amount of additional signage that they already have on the site. So It's really just a comparison with our code, what we anticipate to have here, its proximity to the neighborhood and everything else there. But as we look at the record and we look at the number of fuel stations that either have or do not have this, it's kind of hit and miss. 50% of them do have this, 50% don't. But it's primarily the era in which they developed and in some cases the location in which they're in and the vicinity around them.
Okay, thank you.
On the Design Review Committee, which I now chair with Councilmember Daris attending, we spent a lot of time looking at the impact of lighting and the way lighting is designed in new projects. And the general reference to that is maintaining the rural character of our community with attention to the impact on the night sky, but also on the impact to the commercial residential interfaces that are endemic throughout our community. Can you talk a little bit about what the principles are in the general plan that identify the need to maintain our rural character and specifically with respect to lighting? So in general and specifically to lighting.
Yes. There's a number of policies in our general plan land use element and our open space and conservation element that speak to our area where we are, what our community is really about, which is rural, which is an area without sidewalks, an area that's rich in trees and creeks, and an area also that has a large variety of architecture and custom homes, and an area where we can enjoy the night sky, where we can see the stars. And so some time back, our city council did adopt a set of policies about night sky protection, about rural neighborhoods and protecting that atmosphere. I don't have those policies in front of me tonight. I can look those up, but there are several policies that we have that dictate those features. And so when we do bring a recommendation forward to the DRC or to the commission or council, it is based upon those. It's not based upon opinion. It's based upon those policies and what those mean. And that's what we're trying to, I think, translate here tonight about this location, about the light reflectivity on the hillside and the residential nearby, and about the necessity or need based on this particular location. Even though it's in a commercial tourist zone, it's not a location that's readily visible from the freeway or highway, and so we question the need for going above and beyond what the code already allows, even though there is a certain, you know, level that's allowed now. Does the color banding really make much of a difference on the canopy for a staff's perspective? Not really. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really substantially alter the architecture or set a very unusual precedent. Is it necessary? Not really. The lighting is one thing that does go a step further in that direction. But again, going back to that original DRC decision, was just to have the signage up there and have a plain canopy, which actually looks quite nice on this station. It looks clean. It looks proper. So.
Okay, thank you.
I have a follow-on question. Councilmember
Daris first, and then followed by Councilmember Corpo.
Thank you. More of a comment than anything, but you know, I understand the importance of branding. In listening to the comments and then the caller, you know, it occurred to me that you take all the branding off, take all the signs away, leaving a pricing sign. Anybody driving down El Camino Real is going to recognize it as a gas station. They're usually well lit. The canopies are very tall. I don't think the blue band is going to make it easier to find the gas station. It'll make it easier to recognize as an ARCO. So if you're particular to going to an ARCO, I understand that, versus a Shell or something. So the importance of it is in the branding and people being specific to their to the gas stations that they like to go to. I think the DRC got it correct the first time, as Phil was saying. You know, I think it's the architecture in the neighborhood is important. I'm willing to go as far as the blue band if that's where we're going to head, but I don't think the lighted stripe around it would be appropriate in this location. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And you had a question?
Yes, I have a question for staff. You just mentioned that this is commercial tourist zoned, and do we have any different rules for signage in commercial tourist zone than we do for other zones?
Yes, the signing changes a little bit in each of our districts, and the commercial tourist zone is one of those zones where we do allow pole signs, we do allow more freeway-oriented signs, we do allow something that's a little bigger and brighter than we would in, for example, our commercial neighborhood zone or our downtown zone. It is much different than our retail zone, but those two zones, CT and CR, probably have the highest amount of signage, especially those properties that are adjacent to a freeway. Those even have a higher amount. This property doesn't fit that description. It's detached from the freeway.
Okay. And we noted that it's not visible from the freeway itself, but is it visible from west, east, well, east front, I guess it would be?
It is. One of the images I shared with you in my presentation was taken from East Front Road. So there's a spot that if you're driving past what was the former Tasty Freeze back behind the Cayman Cyclery, there's a gap in the buildings there from East Front because you're so high up, you're looking down upon this site, and you can see the backside of the station and the canopy through that. So there is that from East Front Road looking down.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions, or we're ready for deliberation? Maybe kind of taking a, why don't we just kind of come down the aisle here? We've got, or the aisle, the dais. We have Councilmember Darris's input and Councilmember Borbo, if you want to go.
Mark, you done? Because I mean,
well,
I think you've said.
I'll just kind of sort of quickly reiterate what I said. I'm happy to go with whichever the option was with the blue striping and the light without throwing a monkey wrench in the whole thing. I think the DRC got it right the first time, but since the Planning Commission already changed it and allowed the blue stripe, I'm willing to go with that, but with no light, stripe.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not strong on this, but I feel like, I mean, I certainly would allow the band, the blue band. I don't see any problem with that. And as far as the light is concerned, frankly, I think it seems to me that the lighted pumps and all of the bright lights under the canopy are probably more of a distraction and disturbance for the neighbors than this thin lighted band. I see that it's in a commercial tourist zone. I see that we have them at the other AMPM in town, which also faces a small number of houses. And obviously we have the In-N-Out Burger and certain other freeway-oriented businesses that have considerable lighting in their, or just around their building. So I would be more inclined to grant the appellant their request, by somewhat of a narrow decision, but I would be inclined to grant them that request because they feel it's important for their business. So, thanks.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yeah, I'm inclined to go with Councilmember Darris's original view on this. What I observe here is that the location of this property is such that you've got a building on either side so you don't have a long distance of visibility on El Camino Real to have it be different with the banding or without. And by the time you get close enough to see the station, you can't miss it. It glows like a Christmas tree. And those pump between the lighting underneath the canopy and the pump topper lighting, which our resident way across the way says he sees brightly from his house, it is quite visible from the street. So it's doing its job for the business in making it clear, not just that this is a gas station, but that this is an ARCO gas station. That's, to me, in looking at it, was unmistakable that the branding was working. And so adding the argument that the branding, that the lighted band is needed for traffic to find this and recognize it's an ARCO on El Camino Real, I just don't think fits with the reality of what I observe in the physical location. And I don't see it being, it's not visible from the freeway. So the kind of lighting that we allow to businesses like In-N-Out, which does, as you point, glow like your pump toppers, it's right on the freeway. So that's a little bit different than the ones that are not where you can't have that distance view that's so important, and where you really you're just annoying the neighbors more so than really attracting the business coming around. So I don't you know, I would not support the lighting on the canopy. I am not super objecting to the color banding on the canopy, but I do think that the design as it sits now is attractive, dignified, consonant with the neighborhood, in terms of the way that the canopy is done without the color banding on it. And so that would be my preference, to keep it that way.
Councilmember Newsom.
Thank you. I'm realizing that this station is in more of a residential area, and I think the impact would affect those of the residents and the housing directly across the street. I think that I would be more inclined for the blue band, but not the lighted. I think that you have adequate signage without the blue band of light.
All right. So I certainly appreciate you coming and advocating for the branding, because that is your job to do that. And I also know that over time, you know, aesthetics and things change. Certainly they have for the city, as you've heard. We had certain more lax standards in the past, or maybe, you know, minimal standards, and we kind of end up with things that maybe aren't best suited, but, you know, things are where they are now. So we're trying to come forward, and we certainly want your business here and making that work. I too have driven by and thought, oh, what a lovely gas station, because one doesn't typically say that about a service station. So I think it does look lovely as is, yet I also want to be able to say, you know, hey, if this branding is important, and how do we make that work? I did drive by last night, and it is clearly an ARCO. There's no doubt about that. It is very well lit. So I can stick with the Planning Commission band, color band that they put up, but adding that light is just further than I want to go in terms of, one, just the blending and the aesthetics with the commercial sector that we're starting to build, but also, as our resident online said, just that extra. I mean, we're saying that, you know, hey, there's all this light that's already glaring. What's one more blue band? Well, I think it's probably one blue band too many in terms of those residents and how that's mm-hmm. impacting their quality of life. And I think that if we're having if we're giving you the banding and you've got all that branding, really, most people think of the colors, and at least this is for me, and aren't going to think of the light. So mm-hmm. I hope that you find that to be valuable. And with that, I would be willing to make a motion to uphold to recommend draft resolution A, affirming the Planning Commission's approval of an administrative use permit to allow increased signage at 9590 El Camino Real. Would that be the correct? Based on what
yes.
I'm saying, is that
that's the one without the lighted band.
That's without the lighted band, yeah. But keeping the color banding.
I'll second the motion.
Sure.
I have a motion by Mayor Moreno, a second by Councilmember Darris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Darris.
Yes.
Councilmember Borbo.
No.
Councilmember Newsom.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Yes.
And Mayor Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-1 with Councilmember Borbo voting no.
Thank you. And thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Right. We are going to move on to our council announcements and committee reports. Council announcements are where any council member can, of their own initiative, anything that they're participating in the public, might want to give a very brief announcement on that. And also any standing committees or boards that we sit on and update you. So with that, I will go from my right to my left, starting with Councilmember Newsom.
I have nothing to report.
The Homeless Services Oversight Council Executive Committee will be meeting on the 21st of March. Our next design review committee has been moved from the 29th of February to the, that's the 21st of Executive Committee is the 21st of February, not the 21st of March. Apologies. The Design Review Committee has been moved from the 29th of February to the 7th of March. And I want to report to my fellow council members that I've been approached to help do something, a special recognition for what is the upcoming 50th anniversary of Atascadero Loaves and Fishes, which is now the ALF Food Pantry. And I'm anticipating that this might be something that all five of us would like to do together, to speak with one voice to recognize this excellent work of the organization in our community. And so I'll just want to let you know I'm organizing that, and we'll, for a presentation, they haven't quite finalized when they're, how they're going to do the celebration, so I don't have a specific date for a presentation at their celebration, but I would invite all five council members, if you wish to join me in that, to do so, and both in the terms of signing a proclamation and in terms of presenting it.
Councilmember Borbo.
IWMA meets tomorrow. Nothing too exciting on the agenda. I will note that it's the will be the first full board meeting with a representative from the county having effectively rejoined on February 1st.
Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, also known as CAPSLO, meets this Thursday, as we do the third Thursday of every month. And as previously stated, our DRC meeting has been moved to March 7th. And that's all I have.
Thank you. We had a City Selection Committee meeting, and Mr. Jim Lewis was appointed to the Oversight Committee unanimously. close call. Jerry, Director Rangel came to advocate on your behalf, and I mounted a good argument, so yes. Carla Wixom was willing to be appointed as the LAFCO alternative, so we'd had that. That was a blank spot for a while. I think Councilmember Borbo had filled that for previously, and so we're...
I was filling in, I had done a year or 2 years, yeah, or whatever, and I was filling in until they found somebody.
Until they found someone. So Mayor Wixom stepped forward, so we have that handled. Let's see, I'll have the mayor's roundtable this week. And then at SLOCOG last week, we voted on a 6-5, which, you know, normally we're unanimous on just about everything, but this was moving forward with the sales tax measure and doing further outreach on that. And there are a lot of local municipalities that are very concerned about the effect of the county's measure and how that could affect, say, Measure F-14 in Atascadero. Arroyo Grande has a measure, Paso Robles has a measure, Pismo Beach is potentially looking at one. And so that is a concern that we have, but they're moving forward with another poll, and so we will see where that comes.
But Mayor, on that subject, was there a formal vote by the SLOCOG board to move forward with like survey or something?
6-5, correct.
6-5, thank you.
Yes. And let's see, and with that, I will ask if there are any individual determinations.
I was just gonna ask you on the, with respect to the SLOCOG vote, is, will the polling that's being authorized as a next step ask about the impact of that on people's decision to support their local tax measures?
We've asked for them to do that, and how that will come about, I'm not sure. The initial response that I was given last year when I inquired about asking in the poll how this will affect other measures, the pollster's response to the county was, or to SLOCOG was, well, your measure will come up first on the ballot, so it really doesn't matter. Didn't really appreciate that, that attitude, and so we weren't given any specifics as to how that might sound, and you know, right, we'll just have to see what that looks like.
Mayor, if I may on that, yes, several of the city managers share that same concern, mm-hmm, and so we do have a call with SLOCOG on that very issue of polling, and we'll be going, and I will be sharing that point pretty strongly,
yeah,
and that's tomorrow at 1 for us to talk with SLOCOG staff. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate your strong advocacy on that, because a lot of us cities are concerned of what that could do, because mm-hmm, it would be a significant decrease if the county measure passed. What we would get for roads compared to F-14 is not even quite half of what we get in F-14 we would get with a county measure. So it would really dampen our ability to make the progress that we are in our roads. And as you've seen, we've kind of maintained our pavement condition index, and if we had to cut that in half or more, we'd start dropping down. So it's not a tenable situation.
And yeah, what you just described was that if the slow cog measure were to pass and ours were
and
not,
ours were
yours
not.
To fail.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm not seeing any individual determinations then. All right. We are adjourned.